Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:21 Pacific Standard Time. Well, today was a particularly strong day for the dollar, and not least against the yen. Well, on the one hand, you have the dollar where wage pressure is starting to come through. Well, the velocity of money turned higher. Well, those figures tend to be revised. I just updated the prices in the chart library. It's well worth taking a look at. But velocity of money has at least paused in its decline, which has been going on since 1997. That's a big deal. We're starting to see wage pressures in the U.S. And, well, Japan has just cancelled its increase in the sales tax. Well, the reason that they were hiking the sales tax was to bolster the government's finances, not least because they've got such a remarkably high debt-to-GDP ratio. Well, they've abandoned that, at least for the moment, and, well, at least postponed it. Well, that's no reason that you should be buying the yen when you have that sort of just removal of a support in terms of government financing. So, well, the yen today was weaker by a full yen, 113 ticks. The Australian dollar was weaker by a full cent. The Canadian dollar was a bit steadier in here today. Well, sorry, a bit weaker in here today. Well, if you look at it, then the US dollar has got this progression of higher reaction lows against the loonie. And, well, nothing has happened to question potential for additional upside by the dollar. Well, of course, if just going back to the yen, if you think that the yen is getting weaker, and well, it certainly has got aggressively weaker over the last 4 weeks and has developed a short-term oversold condition, well, then there's potential that you might get some steadying as it approaches that big psychological 120 area. But, well, if anything, the Japanese government have demonstrated that they want a weak currency. And when one looks at it over the long term, that it just demonstrates just how strong the currency had been and, well, how much room there is for depreciation from here. Well, if that's the case, and you're sitting there in Singapore or Korea or Malaysia or Indonesia or even Japan or China, and you're looking at the weakness of the yen and the respective competitiveness of Japan's major export sector, well, that's going to be problematic. That, well, the currency markets in Asia had been relatively finely balanced, so that other countries were willing to tolerate reasonably firm currencies because the yen had been firm and because the renminbi were firm. Well, Japan has totally abandoned any semblance that it wants a strong currency. The strength of the renminbi has at least paused in its advance. That, well, we've probably seen a medium-term peak, and that it's probably one of the steadiest currencies in the world relative to the dollar, but that they don't want to see their currency appreciate very much either if the yen is in straight-out depreciation mode. Well, the Singapore dollar moved to a new 3-year low today. Well, you get any kind of follow through by the dollar, the US dollar on this move, and well, it's going to complete a 3-year base. Well, it's a pretty similar story for the Taiwan dollar, the Korean won, the Malaysian ringgit, the Indonesian rupiah, that, well, we've gone through, you know, well, perhaps not so much for the Indonesian rupiah, but that for the majority of these currencies, they were really among some of the strongest in the world until about 2 years ago. And, well, that now looks like it's over. Well, of course, that's also helping to flatter their respective stock markets in nominal terms. So the Malaysian market had an upside key reversal yesterday, followed through to the upside today. The Indonesian market was also a bit firmer in here today. Well, also of interest is that the Singapore Financial Index broke out to the upside, that it's been leading the wider market higher, that a bit of a weaker currency wouldn't do the Singapore economy any harm. Well, not least as the economy has been a bit sluggish over the last year. Well, of course, if you've got this you know, strong dollar and strong just against a large basket of currencies, well, it's probably worth pointing out that the pound was a bit firmer in here today. It was up 50 ticks. It's been pretty oversold. And the euro was also at least steady in here. But gold was down by about $13. It's well, it's paused around that $1,200 area. It got as high today as 1202. Well, it needs to get above that $1,200 area to signal a downside failure. And, well, platinum moved to a new reaction, a closing low in here today. Silver, having bounced up to the $16 level, will really need to hold at least that level. And, well, palladium was down by $12 in here today. Well, oil, which has been so very weak, was reasonably quiet. And natural gas was stronger by 15 cents. Well, we're getting a lot of volatility in natural gas over the last couple of weeks, which is almost entirely weather-related. Well, when you look at the stock markets generally, then, well, Wall Street in particular has got this, has posted consecutive advances for almost the entire month. You look at the Dow Jones, and just on a daily basis, it's just one candle after another to the upside. Well, it's at least lost a little bit of that upside momentum over the last week. You couldn't be too surprised if you get some consolidation of what has been just a remarkably powerful rebound. And, well, you're just going to have to continue to see the good news keep coming. Well, considering that the economy is doing very well and that wage pressures are starting to come through, that should help consumer spending, and well, the consumer represents a very large part of the US economy, but also that energy prices are coming down. That's all it's all positive for the consumer, positive for the economy. But, well, does the Fed really need to have such accommodative monetary policy in that type of benign environment? Well, they're not going to raise interest rates prematurely. They're certainly not going to rush into it. But realistically, do they need to have it just indefinitely? Well, if you're looking at bond markets, then we've had just a huge rally in October, and the bond prices have been unwinding some of that over the last month. Well, they were a bit weaker again in here today, and that was pretty much across the boards. That the long bond was down by about 18 ticks, and German bunds, which have just been among the strongest of just about any asset class in the world because of just worries about deflation in Europe, were a little bit weaker in here today as well. That we've seen that prices have pulled back from the 152 area on the bund on three occasions now since August. And, well, you have a situation in Europe where there is half a dozen countries where where investors are paying them to take their money. Well, that's being unwound right now. That the German 2-year was trading at a yield of minus 0.1% in September, and it's almost back to zero right now. So, well, a lot of the panic that sent the markets to that level has been unwound in the intervening period. Well, interestingly, that when you had that big move, that even though it was incredibly aggressive and people were just panicking into bonds, that, well, we still have that low on US Treasuries, which is considerably below where the low was in October. Well, in other words, that the October is a higher reaction lower. If you turn it into price, it's a lower high. You have to think about this market in terms of just the very, very long term, that you're going to get volatility, that the total return means that people haven't taken any big losses, but that when something's been going up for 30 years, well, the risk of it not performing to the same extent in future as it has in the past becomes very, very real indeed. Well, when we look at stock markets, that we have short-term overbought conditions in a number of North American and European indices, that there is the possibility that we're going to get some consolidation. But that when you look at it over the medium term, that, well, if you take, for example, the DAX index, which I suppose bearing in mind that it is a total return index, but that it broke up out of a 13-year range at the end of last year, and that this entire consolidation for the last 12 months looks like a first step above the base. Well, you could look at the Walmart chart that I posted yesterday, and it doesn't look all that different. That you had Walmart going sideways from about 1998 until 2012, and then a first step above the base, and now it's been resolved to the upside, and, well, it looks like a new bull market. Well, these are the kinds of things that suggest that you know, we are potentially at the beginning of what it could be a secular bull market. That, yes, there are risks that we could get pauses, we could get consolidations, we could get medium-term pullbacks, but that, generally speaking, those will be considered buying opportunities, and that, well, we don't know just yet how the end of quantitative easing and the normalization eventually of monetary policy will go, but that we can conclude that central banks aren't going to just engage in it without having a good reason, and they're certainly not going to anticipate. Well, it means that, you know, we're still in this sort of very benign environment. Well, with that, I think I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.